3 in your pew Bibles. I invite you to read along with me if you wish. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Celtic people were pagans. They worshiped the gods that they knew on hilltops and in groves of trees and by streams of water. And so when the first Christians came to live among them, the Celts heard for the first time the stories of Moses and David, the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah, and the songs of the psalmist. And those missionaries told them about Jesus, about his life and his death and his resurrection. And they heard for the first time the wonderful words of Paul's letters and the visions of the book of Revelation. And by the power of God's Spirit among them, some of those Celts became Christians. So as they read their new holy book, surely they noticed all the times when it was in the kinds of places where they had previously worshipped that the God of the Bible was encountered. Moses receiving the Ten Commandments on the top of a mountain. John baptizing in the Jordan River. Jesus praying among the olive trees. The psalmist sang, I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And the Celtic Christians long ago heard there that the truth that God can be known in the natural world by the things we touch with our hands and see with our eyes and taste with our tongues. And so, with a new faith and a new understanding, the Celtic people returned to the hilltops and the groves of trees and the streams of water to worship again. Because now they understood what they had previously only felt that these were places where the distance between the realm of our world and the realm of the Spirit was not very far, that the boundary between heaven and earth was thin. And they called those places of wonder and worship thin places. And on those places they built their churches and their monasteries. And so today, now centuries later, some of these thin places in Scotland and in Ireland remain places of pilgrimage. People go there because when they stand on those hilltops and walk through those groves of trees and linger on the streams of those shores, they experience something spiritual, something memorable. They encounter the holy and they come away somehow transformed. This coming August, my wife Ann and I are planning a trip to visit the island of Iona in Scotland. It is one of those Celtic thin places. My son Robert and his wife Mary Ann have been there several years ago, and they told us that they wanted to return and to share this experience with their children, my grandchildren, now 10, 8, and 6 years of age. Well, Ann and I have previously talked about wanting to go there, and so we quickly invited ourselves to join them. Really good idea. And they agreed that with 3 kids and some extra pairs of adult hands might be quite helpful. I'm not sure what I expect to encounter there in the Celtic thin place of Iona in Scotland. I'll let you know sometime this fall when I have another preaching date. But the reason I'm talking about thin places today is because I believe. No, it's more than just believing. It's my experience that there are thin places on this side of the Atlantic, in Illinois, as well as in Ireland. And I want to invite you in this season of Lent to seek them out and to be aware when you are in a place where heaven is closer, where the experience of a thin place is something people have, people know, when they are paying attention. Thin places can be ignored. But when people notice things which they might otherwise have just let go, when they think more deeply about what their senses are actually telling them, they have an opportunity. You and I have an opportunity to experience a thin place. I suspect that quite a few of you would say that you experience God, sometimes at least, as close and wonderful when you are outdoors in nature, standing on a hilltop, or walking through a grove of trees, or sitting on the shore of a lake. I've certainly had that experience. A number of years ago, I accompanied a group of senior highs on a work trip to Colorado. So one day we stopped our construction early and boarded our bus and drove up into the mountains of Colorado in preparation for going whitewater rafting on the Colorado River the next day. But what was an unplanned but completely wonderful experience became what I remember most about that trip to Colorado. I unrolled my thin foam sleeping pad and my sleeping bag, and I crawled inside it and looked up at the sky. We were sleeping under the stars. And even though I was completely bone tired, I had trouble going to sleep that night because I had never before seen the skies above us with such clarity. It was amazing. I was moved to wonder. I was moved to worship. For me on that night, I was experiencing a thin place. All of you, I suspect, have had moments like that. If you've paddled a canoe on the lakes of the boundary waters and felt that God was close, if you've hiked up a hill or climbed a mountain and experienced heaven as closer than usual? If you've watched or listened as the waves pounded on the shore and understood their timeless power, you know what a thin place feels like. So those Celtic Christians teach us that the wonders of nature, the glories of nature, can open our eyes to see heaven close and to fill our minds with understanding of the handiwork of our Creator God. But the Celts also knew that what our human hands can build can lead us to wonder and to worship. I am personally delighted that Wildwood Presbyterian Church has a labyrinth. A labyrinth is a carefully crafted thin place. It has no other purpose. A labyrinth is actually quite plain. It's not something that's awe-inspiringly beautiful. When you follow its path, it just takes you back to where you started again. But a long time ago, people of deep spiritual sensitivities discovered that walking a labyrinth as a spiritual practice carried them in some wonderful way closer to heaven. So before our labyrinth was covered with snow, I walked our labyrinth one morning each week. And then I recorded some part of my experience in a diary that I, in fact, published in the Shavings. I plan to resume my experience of our local thin place outside there when the weather cooperates. And I invite you, when it thaws, even in this season of Lent, to join me out there by yourself with other people. And then to write about what you experience that our WPC Labyrinth Diary might be something we share with each other. But on a cold, wintry day like this, when walking outdoors just may not do it, I also want to invite you to fully experience another thin place, the one in which you are sitting right now. Buildings of ordinary brick and mortar become special spiritual places when faithful people gather to sing and pray. I don't know whether the particular piece of land on which this building now sits was a thin place before we built it. It was a grove of trees, but as far as I know, no one ever worshiped there. But we as a community of Christians built this building, and it has become our church home. And we gather here for worship. And when we do that, by the power of God's Spirit, this becomes a thin place where heaven is close, when that barrier between us and the life of the Spirit is thin. If we pay attention, we can see the goodness of the Lord in this place, which is in the land of the living. Just as one example, I want you all with me to take a look at this table. This table sits here every Sunday. It's rather simple, doesn't make a big splash, but in that solid simplicity, it can put us in touch with the most profound mysteries and wonders of life. This table is made of some kind of wood. I'm not sure what kind, maybe walnut. The tree from which this wood grew came from a seed that fell to the forest floor somewhere. We don't know where. When that seed sprouted and its first leaf poked up toward the sky, light fell upon that first leaf. That light, which was created by the fusion of hydrogen atoms into helium in the core of the star, which we call the sun. And those photons of light came across 93 million miles of space to land upon this planet, which we call our home, and on the first leaf of that tiny seedling. in that leaf, a wonderful chemical, we call it chlorophyll, it's green, somehow, amazingly, wonderfully, created the energy that was in that photon of light to be something which could cause that little plant to grow, cell by cell, until the tree stood grand in the forest. And then men with loud chainsaws came and cut that tree down, hauled it out of the forest and trucked it to a lumber mill. And skilled men and skilled women then designed this table and crafted it to graft to grace our sanctuary. So that today and every day when we come here, it sits here, providing a focal point for our worship. It's a strong place, a solid, steady place, a thin plate on which we can put the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper. Pay attention to know that this table is a thin place. After the service is over, come up here and put your hand on it and touch it. The flames of these candles, they're a thin place. Open your eyes and look at the light that's coming to you from them. The vase of flowers. Whoops, there aren't any today. Most Sundays there are. That's a thin place. The vase and the flowers. The pottery of the cup. All of us. Maybe especially the loaf of bread, the wine and the cup. They are all thin places. And so join me as together we gather at this table, having the wonderful experience of feeling heaven close, feeling what it is like when that barrier between the realm of our world and the realm of the Spirit is thin. It's the second Sunday of the season of Lent. Learn with me from those Celtic Christians of centuries past. Listen to the words of the Lord's Supper as they are spoken today, and hear God's truth. Look with your eyes as you walk forward down the aisle. See the table. See the people who are serving you. Remember that upper room in Jerusalem. Touch the bread with your fingers when you hold it. Taste the wine upon your tongue. And there find nourishment, spiritual nourishment for your soul. And then return to your seat with the memorable delight that comes from visiting a thin place, a place that makes you want to return, a place that makes you want to share that experience with your children and with everybody you encounter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.